Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Word of God says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor." Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we can come into your house and just worship you, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit is moving right now amongst our people and our hearts, that we might open our eyes to see what you would have for us to see this morning. We give you all praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. In the New Testament, the Bible says many times what the family of God is like. It calls it unto a great house, our family of God. It talks about the foundation of God, and it tells us what it really means to be saved of God, how to be born again. So here this morning, I believe we are a family. We are a family. If you've been born again, you're a child of God. You're part of a great family. And we are standing, the Bible says, sure on the solid rock of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the foundation that we build upon. Now, in chapter 2, verse 20, he talks about the building of God. And he talks about what's in the building of God. He says in that vessels are inside the building. Vessels are inside the building. And then sometimes the Bible talks about the household of God. When we talk about a household, we're talking about the church like a beautiful, I like to use that word, mansion. And Paul discusses the things that are necessary if we are going to serve our God effectively. We want to serve God effectively. I want my life to count for something. When I get to the end of my journey, and I don't know exactly when that will be, only God knows. He may let me live to be 100, or he may take me tomorrow. But whatever, I want my life to be a vessel, he describes here, a vessel fit for honor. One that is serving in the house of God. Now, we talk about the church. I want to tell you what the church really is. When we talk about the church today, we're talking about something more than just in this building, okay? If you've been saved, you're part of the family. And this is God's church, and you're part of that church. But it's more than just a group at First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel City. It's a large group of people from all kinds, not just Baptists. Baptists are going to be surprised, I think, one day when they get to heaven and find out there's others there. But it's all those who have been born again, every child of God. Not just here in Gun Barrel, not just here in Seven Points or Maybank or Eustis, but all over the world. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, isn't that great to know that we're a part of something greater than just right here? We're a part of God's church all over the world. People are finding Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They're hearing the old story. Someone's out there telling about Jesus, and they understand that they are part of the kingdom of God, and they come in and they have that salvation experience They repent and turn from their sin, and they turn to God, and they begin to praise God with their life. They begin to worship God with their life. Now, it is a great thing to belong to a church, but it's more than this local church. It's all over the world, here in America and Canada and even in Russia and China, those places, people are being born again. Son tells me there's thousands every month being born into the kingdom of God. There's a hunger and thirst for God's word there, and they praise God there. And they have a local church there. But all the churches, all the believers gathered together is in God's house. But let's not stop there. Let's not just stop with a family of God by faith. We're a part of the household of faith, all of born-again children. And we have spiritual brothers and spiritual sisters. You know, I've got a brother. I call him my brother. Over in Kenya, we help support their church through our church, and I've got some brothers down in Haiti, Brother Francois. He's part of our family makeup all over the world. We're brothers and sisters, part of that great family. And the Bible says it is a great house. It's a great house. Now, I hope you're getting the picture of what it means when it talks about God's family. It's all born-again believers are part of that family. And did you know something? We share in a great wealth. In this great house is a great wealth. Now, funny, I go out, Brother Bill and I go out and visit and knock on people's doors. And sometimes people say, "Oh, you're from First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel City. That's that rich church up there on the hill." You didn't know people thought you were rich, did you? People think you're rich out there. You know, fact is, we are rich. Did you know that? You are rich. For the Bible says in Ephesians, we have something better than money, physical money. He says, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So this morning, if you are in Christ Jesus, guess what? You're rich. My Father is rich beyond measure. He's rich in grace. Listen, I'm His son. You're His child. And God gives us that riches in Christ Jesus. And these things really matter. They matter. They're part of that family, that great house, that great family together. And this morning, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are a member of that great house, and you indeed are very prosperous. You've been blessed. Now, our house is not only a great house, it's not only a house of wealth. We have the greatest of all time. The owner of the house is the greatest person in the world. He is our God, our Savior, our Creator. And the Bible says, Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. You see, this church does not belong to me. Somebody here once told us, "Oh, you're the pastor of that big church. That's your church. It's a big church." And I said, "No, that's not my church." "Well, I thought you was going up there still." I said, "I do. I still preach up there, but it's not my church." "Well, you and the people, y'all have it. It's y'all's church." I said, "No, it's not the people's church. This church is God's church." You see, He's the one who died on the cross and shed his precious blood on the cross. This church belongs to Jesus. Everything we do should point people to Jesus. Every time we give an offering, it points towards Jesus to carry on his work. It's his church. I want to take care of his church. I want to belong to his church. But it's more than just his building, you see. It's all the born-again believers all over the world. It is a great church. Now, let me tell you something. It's a great church because it's got a great future. If you're part of the kingdom of God, you've got one of the greatest futures ahead of you. You know, the church had a wonderful past. We can go back into history every once in a while and talk about how God has blessed this church and how it started out. And my wife was asking me the other day something about when we started over here. And, oh, I thought that was 87. We built that building. And then over here, we built this building in 94. And it was a blessing. I can remember those days, how this thing going up. I was just thinking, Lord, what are you doing? But man, he knew exactly what he was doing. And he built this church for us. He's helped us pay for it. Oh man, it's just a great, know that God is active in this church. And it's a wonderful church. It's got a great past. But this church has got a great future. Just like this church has a great future, the Bible says the whole church, the family of God, has a great future. Miracles, man. Have you ever heard of miracles? I can tell you miracle after miracle of how God has blessed in his church, how through people's lives were changed, how souls became saved and have won the victory here in this church. But one day, oh, one day in the future, you know, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about how great the universe was. How many of y'all remember where you were when the man stepped out on the moon? Oh, I just come in from duck hunting. I never will forget that. Got to watch him take that first step. You know what he said? One giant leap for man, something like that. Boy, I thought about one giant leap. What if he bounced on that thing and off he went? I don't know about you, but I was kind of scared about that. But you know what? That was a great thing. I remember that. But you know what? A greater thing, the Bible tells me that one day the church of God is going to hear the trump of God, and he's going to take us out of here. And oh, you talking about flying. Man, we're going to be caught up. Oh, we're going to be snatched out of here. We're going to take flight. And we're not going to have a rocket to do it in. We're going to go with Jesus Christ. I recall all the wonder of that man stepping out on the moon. But oh, the future of the church when God calls it to fly out of here and to go be with God, what a wonderful day that will be. I believe the church has a wonderful future. Something that no one else has ever seen, dreamed, or imagined. And if you are part of that church this morning, if you've been born again this morning, you're a child of God this morning, you will rise in the sky. You will rise to be with Jesus, whether dead or alive. The Bible says he'll raise those who are asleep in Christ first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with him in the air. It's a great future, folks. God tells us about it. You can read over in Revelation and just get all excited about what's going to happen at the end time. But you know what? While we're here, we still need to be working for Jesus. Now, I can recall a time when Rhonda and I took a vacation and we went down to along the Mississippi River to those old plantations mansions. And we passed through the halls, and you know, they'll lead you through those things and let you look and explain all of these things. And we came into one big kitchen. And there on that kitchen, you couldn't go over in there because there's a guard there. But on that kitchen, they had, I've never seen china like that or whatever it was. It was gold looking and it was shiny, and it must have cost a lot because he was standing there guarding it. And he wasn't guarding that red rope. But they brought it over from France, they said. And when the family would get together and they had a big party there at that mansion, guess what? They ate off of those plates. But you know what? I just imagine if you could had got over that rope back in the days that they were having those big parties there and celebrations there, and I could imagine all that, the celebration and the finery that went on, because they really put on a feed bag. I just imagine after the party was over with, somewhere in that house they had some old dishes. We do. I'm so happy when Christmas rolls around, we have somebody over, we get to eat on the good stuff. You do too, don't you? Your wife sets that nice table and puts all the fine stuff out there. You want something nice for your guests. But when the guests are gone, we get out the old stuff, paper plates, whatever. I've got a favorite mug. Everybody got a favorite coffee cup? I got one really not worth using anymore. But I keep it. You know why? I like it. I like it. I think it's kind of got a slow leak in it now. But I'm not going to throw it away. Hope Rhonda doesn't throw it away. Don't throw it away. In the morning, when we have our coffee, if it's clean, she always brings me the rooster cup. Makes me feel special. The rooster cup. Now, you got to understand that that cup has a rooster on it. And I like that cup. It just fits your hand good. You know, some things you just like. Fits my hand good. Holds just the right amount of coffee. I can drink the whole cup without it getting cold. It's just right. I like the rooster cup. And if there's just two cups, she's always going to give me that rooster cup because she knows I like it. You know, it's a good thing to have that. But Paul said, you know what? In God's house, there's all kinds of vessels, just like in our house. There's all kinds of glasses. There's all kinds of good stuff and bad stuff. He says in the great house, there's all kinds of vessels. Some gold. I'd consider that pretty good stuff. Some silver. But then he says there's some wood and some earth. And then he says there's some of honor and some of dishonor. Now listen, the vessels of the Lord are placed in his house according to their willingness to be used of God. Now think about that. In his house, there are vessels, some gold, some silver, some wood, some clay. And they're placed in his house. You know what? God has placed all different kinds of people in his church. Have you ever thought about it? We're not alike, are we? We didn't all come from the same background. Isn't that good that we're not all alike? Yeah, it's good if we was all alike, we all liked the same thing, we all did the same thing. but there's diversity in God's house. According to God, He has placed everyone here today in His house, a member of this church, and you ought to be usable for God. In our lives, we ought to be clean. We ought to be pure. We ought to be pleasing to God so that He will use us as a vessel of honor. In other words, He'll use us as a vessel of gold or silver. Those are honored, you see. And all through the New Testament, there's a mixture of vessels in God's house. Now let me tell you what I'm talking about. As I read the Bible, I find all kinds of parables. And there is a parable in the Bible that says of the wheat and the tares. You remember that? The wheat's growing and somebody comes in and plants the old weeds in with the wheat, the tares. And Jesus says, let them alone. Let them all grow up. There'll be a separation day, and then we'll separate the good and the bad. And then there's another parable of the nets. And it's a very small parable, and He says, in the nets, there's all kinds of fish, some good and some to be thrown out. And when I read those parables, I'm reminded that in God's house, we have a mixture of people. Those who are honestly wanting to follow God with their life. Those who love God with all their heart. And I pray that that's you today. I pray that you love God, and you want to follow God with all your heart. But there's also those that really don't love the Lord. They are coming into the church expecting something. Maybe God will give them something. But they really don't love God. We need to make sure, if we're here today, that we want to love God and follow the Lord with all our life. I don't want to get to the end of my life, think that I have been a part of His church, following Him, and He comes and says, depart from me, I never knew you. We need to make sure this morning that we are a vessel fit for honor in God's house. Did you know there's people that have their name on the roll here that haven't been in church in years and years and years? You know, I don't even know their names anymore. It's been so long. I couldn't tell you what they look like. And one day they're thinking they're all right because they put their name on the church roll. But they've never been born again. They've never come to that relationship with Jesus Christ where they ask Him to come in for salvation. Oh, they wanted to join the church. I know people that say, hey, preacher, I want to be baptized. I'll say, what for? Well, I think that's what I need to do. And they're baptized and they never come back to church. They think that that baptism saved them. That's what they're thinking. But baptism doesn't save you. Jesus says you must be born again. That's, you know, you've got to give your life to Jesus Christ. Your life resembles a broken vessel or old dirty cup that the devil wants to ruin your life and destroy your life, maim your life. He said, I come here to steal, to kill, and destroy. And you, or he has placed you in the house, and you think, oh, I'm in the house, I'm all right. But we need to ask ourselves this morning, have I ever truly been saved? Have you ever truly been saved? There's some to honor and some to dishonor. Now, some have truly been saved, but they really never dedicated themselves to the Lord. They're like these vessels here that are wood and clay, that they're in the house, but they're not a very pretty vessel. They're not a very clean vessel. Let me ask you, had you rather be a vessel that's pure and of gold and silver, that's fit for honor of God? Or are you rather just live your life kind of as a dirty vessel in God's house, not doing much? You see, if you're dirty, God can't use you the way he wants to use you. God wants to use you. He wants you to glorify him. He wants you to be blessed. I don't know about you, but man, when I was saved, gave my life to Jesus Christ, I wanted to be used of God. I wanted to glorify God in my life. I wanted to lift him up. I wanted to tell people how glorious the God that I serve. Oh, I love to sing those songs. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. I want people to know that God is a mighty God, and I want to be a vessel of honor in his house. Every year when Christmas rolls around, like I said, we get out the good stuff for such a special day. Oh, people will come to church on Easter. Boy, they'll come to church on Mother's Day. They'll put on the good stuff. They'll get their life on the outside all cleaned up. They'll put on the best clothes they got. And there's nothing wrong with that. But they're covering up a rotten life, a dirty life. Folks, I wouldn't want to put clean tea or clean milk in an old dirty vessel and drink it. I wouldn't want to do that. We ought to worry about the inside. We ought to start on the inside and say, God, what's wrong with my life that I'm not serving you the way I should? Lord, am I not dedicated enough? Do I not read my Bible? Do I not study your word? Do I not go to church? How can I be a vessel of honor? That's what we ought to be, a vessel of honor. Not just on Easter. You know, every day is Easter to me. Every day is the Lord's day to me. I just want to serve him. I want to get to heaven and I want to know that I've done all that I can. I've finished the work that he's given me to do. There's some things that are just there, but they're not very good vessels. Kind of like that old cup. It would probably be the last cup that, if it was in a garage sale, well, I think at one time it was in a garage sale. Nobody bought it. But I like it. Probably where we found that old rooster cup is probably a garage sale somewhere, but I like it. But you know what? It's clean now. I wouldn't want to use it dirty. And that's exactly the way it is with God's children. If you're saved and you belong to God, you're His vessel. But if you're not usable, you bring discredit to His name. You bring dishonor to His name. You're dragging down His church by the way you live. Is it too much for Him to ask of you to be a vessel that is fit to be used? I don't think so. He's given His life for you. You ought to bring Him honor. I don't want to be a vessel in the house of God that you have to put up on a shelf because you can't use it. And in verse 21, look what it says. Therefore, if anybody cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. It talks about being purged. It talks about being cleansed. And it says, therefore, if any man purge himself from these things, and it talks about youthful lust, he shall be a vessel of honor for God, sanctified, that means set apart, and usable for the Lord. You've been set apart by God. Now, sanctification talks about your daily walk with the Lord. Sanctified. How are you walking every day with the Lord? We're starting this prayer thing on Wednesday night where we're going through on prayer. I find myself, since I've been on prayer, walking through the day, just praying. Out in the garage, just praying. Just thinking about God. Use me today. Let someone come along my way. Lord, I thank you for taking care of me. You know, you don't have to talk out loud. It don't hurt if you do. If nobody's there but God, it's all right. If somebody else is here, your neighbor hears you walking around out there talking, he may think you're crazy, but that's all right. As long as you're crazy for the Lord. You see, but that's the way our lives ought to be. Every day with Jesus. I'm walking down the King's Highway. That's a song, isn't it? If it wasn't, I was fixing to make one up. You see, sometimes people want to be used, but they don't want to live the life that God wants them to live. Folks, you've got to want to live the life if God's going to use you. He says, purge. That means to cleanse thoroughly and completely. Now, if you really want to dedicate your life to the Lord, He says, purge yourself. Purge yourself. Cleanse yourself. When I received Jesus Christ into my life, you know what? There were some things in my life that I knew had to be changed. There were some things that I were doing wrong, and I couldn't keep doing those things. That's repentance, you see. We turn from our old life, start a new life, fresh and new. I wanted to be totally committed to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, that's a foreign word, isn't it? We don't want to commit ourselves to anything. I'll say, how many want to do this? How many want to do that? Everybody says, yeah, preacher, we want to do this. The day we do it, nobody shows up. I've got something else to do, preacher. Totally committed to the Lord. Now, what is right and what's wrong? Someone always wants to debate with me. Preacher, if what I am doing, is it really right or is it really wrong? I think I asked you a few weeks ago, if you have to ask, is it right? It's probably wrong. Chances are, if you have to debate about something in the Bible, whether it's right or wrong for you to do this as a Christian, let me tell you something. I'm not going to debate with you. I'm not going to go through all of this stuff with you, but let me tell you. If you are a Christian and you think you can go in and get a beer out of the ice box or grab a cigarette and start smoking it and will not hurt you, let me tell you, you're dead wrong. There is no debate. Somebody, I had a preacher tell me one time, well, it's all right to drink one beer. I want to say, fella, you're a preacher. If some little kid sees you drinking that one beer, and he's going to go out and say, well, the preacher drinks, I can too, and he might drink three or four, and then he goes down the highway and accidentally is killed in a car wreck, let me tell you something. You might as well have pulled the trigger. You influenced his life. Why do something like that at all? You don't have to. There's all kinds of debates going on today. Well, preacher, does it hurt to live with someone before? The Bible says it's adultery. Plain and simple. I don't judge you. I want your life to be complete in Christ. I want you to purge yourself from anything that would cause you to be a vessel not fit for honor. He says, flee youthful lust. Flee those things that cause people to do something that's wrong, and pursue righteousness, pursue faith, pursue love and peace. I'm fixing to close. But let me tell you, there's three wills in this universe. There is God's will, there is the devil's will, and there is man's will. It's God's will that your life be useful and a vessel unto honor. It is the devil's will to destroy your life. Now, I don't have to debate that, do I? Your will is deciding which one you must do. I can't make you live a sinless life, and I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I can't say to you that drinking is going to send you to hell, because it probably won't. But you can ruin your testimony, and through something like that, you can send other people to that place. Your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren are your children. If they see you glorifying God with your life, let me tell you something. They're going to want to do like their father and mother. They're going to want to glorify God with their life. Your will is to decide what you're going to do. God says, follow me. Follow me. And I will reward you greatly. The devil says, follow me. Have a good time while you can. Because I'm going to destroy your life for all eternity. Now, which one are you going to do? If you're willing to acknowledge the truth, God's will give you the ability to repent and turn your life around from a life of sin to a life with God. To be a vessel in God's house fit for honor. Which one will it be? If you're already saved today, let me ask you something. Are you usable? I don't think I have to discuss any more about what makes you usable. I think you probably got the gist of God's Word. Look in God's Word, find out what His will for your life is, and be usable for God. And if you have to say, "Preacher, I think this won't hurt or that won't hurt," well, go to God's Word and check it out with Him. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't bother you about it, well, it's all right. But if the Holy Spirit bothers you about it, brother, you better get your life turned around. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much that the Bible says in the great house, in the family of God, there's all kinds of vessels, some gold, some silver, some wood, some earthen. Lord, we want to be a vessel of honor, something that's not put up on a shelf somewhere, not used for God's glory. If our life's upon the shelf today, and our life is dirty, Lord, I pray that we'll step forward and come down to the front and just get before God and say, "God, I haven't been a pleasing vessel in Your house, but today I want You to turn my life around." He will, if you'll ask Him to. If you've never been saved, then start with repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Start with salvation. We give You the praise and glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.